The anti-whaling activist ship, the Sea Shepherd, has been ordered by a US court to stay at least 450 metres away from whaling vessels. The order was sought by the institute which undertakes the Japanese government's whaling program. The injunction ordered the Sea Shepherd and Captain Paul Watson not to physically attack or endanger the whaling ships. Captain Watson joins us now from the Steve Irwin vessel. Good morning, Captain Watson.
Good morning.
Now, were you expecting this sort of ruling?
No, the judge, Richard Jones, in February denied this preliminary injunction and set the trial for next September to rule on it. And then a couple of days ago, an email came from one of the other judges granting the injunction to the Japanese. Our lawyers said that's completely unprecedented, and they were taken completely by surprise. They never heard of such a thing happening before. And it's also very strange. I mean, what authority does the U.S. court have over Dutch and Australian vessels with a crew from 26 countries operating out of Australia, New Zealand, in international waters?
Well, it does seem bizarre. Will you abide by the ruling then, I suppose, is the obvious question?
Well, we have the lawyers looking at it right now. It's a very complex thing, but we're committed to protecting these whales in the sanctuary, and that's what we're here for. It's Operation Zero Tolerance. Last year, they only took 26%. The year before, 17%. We're trying for 0%. Last year, we cost them $20.5 million in losses. They threw $30 million into this kitty that they took from the Tsunami Relief Fund just to oppose us. And with that, they pretty much bought an army of lawyers to come after us. They come after me personally. They come after Sea Shepherd. But, you know, we expected this kind of opposition. I mean, Japan's one of the, most powerful countries in the world. So they're not going to take it lightly. But we're not taking the fact that they're killing whales in the Southern Ocean lightly either.
So should you have to comply with this order, what restrictions would it place on techniques?
Well, I don't know what they say about attacking us. The only attacking that's been going on down there is the Japanese collided with and ripped one of our ships in half and destroyed it and almost killed six people, and they didn't even have to answer to the Australian investigating authorities over that. They just ignored it. So they don't have to answer for anything they do, and yet we're supposed to abide by a U.S. court ruling in these international waters. So it's all very bizarre. Also, the fact is that the Japanese are operating in contempt of an Australian federal court ruling, and the U.S. Ninth District Court said that Australia's federal court ruling was irrelevant to them.
I see. Well, what makes the U.S. court ruling relevant to you?
Well, that's the question. I mean, the whole thing is really bizarre. So, I mean, can they stop us? No, they can't enforce us. But if we were to do something like that. But, you know, we have, since 1977, we've done what we've done nonviolently and within the scope of the law. We've never been convicted of a crime. So it is a challenge to us because we want to stay within the law because that's what we're trying to do up here is uphold international conservation law. But it seems to me that the law has, in this case, in the U.S., has taken a very biased view on this particular thing. And of course, it doesn't help that the judge that ruled on this is a Japanese American judge, who decided to overturn Judge Richard Jones's ruling.
So, are there any grounds for appeal then?
Well, we could, but by the time the appeal would be heard, would be too late, really, and they probably knew that. They've invested millions of dollars in trying to get sway the Ninth District Court. And the fact is, the Ninth District Court never expedites any appeal decision, so this is highly unusual. So obviously there's some influence somewhere, I don't know what. But, it's not our intention to violate any laws if we can do it, but we do have a commitment. But also, I've always said that, there's three things that allow us to be successful. That's passion, courage, and imagination. So we really got to exercise some imagination to find out a way to do this and stay within the law. But we're not going down there to hang banners and take pictures. We're going down there to prevent whales from being killed.
Well, just in finally, will you comply with the order?
Well, I can't say exactly what we're doing at this point because we have lawyers looking into this and whether the order is even relevant to us. But we're going to try and find ways of complying with the order at the same time as being effective. But we cannot allow them to kill whales, and we're not going to. We're going to stand very firm on that, no matter what the consequences are.
It's 22 minutes to 9 o'clock here on RN Summer Breakfast, where we're joined by Paul Watson, captain of the Sea Shepherd. Now, just finally, Paul, how do you assess at the end of each season the success of the operation?
Actually, we can rely on the Japanese themselves because they come back and whine and complain about how successful we have been. And last year, they took only 26% of their kill quota. The year before that, 17%. And last year, they said that we cost them $20.5 million in U.S. dollars in losses. So they're the ones that actually tell the world just how successful we've been.
Indeed. Well, we certainly look forward with great interest as to how the battle will be enjoined again this season. Paul Watson, thank you very much for taking the trouble to join us this morning.
Thank you.
Paul Watson, Sea Shepherd Captain, joining us there. It's 21 minutes to 9 o'clock here on RN Summer Breakfast.